At its best, our earthly life is like a Palm Sunday parade. It's a procession of faith and great expectations in the face sometimes of certain failure. Or it will be nothing but a resignation to futility. Our excitement is always going to be out of focus. What we bless today, we sometimes betray tomorrow. That's how fickle we can be as humans. It's the cycle of life on the earth. But despite this, or perhaps because of this, we must take our places in the parade to show our praises to Jesus. We must relive our baptisms and renew our baptismal vows, no matter how often we may break them. The knowledge of God's goodness must wipe away the knowledge of our own sins as rushing water washes away debris. Virginia Stern Owen shares that aware of our own wavering natures, we must declare, "This is it. Heaven is passing by this very moment." We will never be worthy, but Jesus is. Stern shares, if it's ever going to be that glory and hallelujah in our hearts, it must be now. We can't wait to be worthy, or even the stones will have to do our work for us, unquote. Our hearts, however wounded and weary, must give way once more to anticipation and proclaim that the Blessed One comes in the name of the Lord, and we can demonstrate our love, our gratitude, and our praise to God daily, not just on Palm Sunday. Jesus' first day in Jerusalem before he was crucified was a day that was bittersweet. The sweetness of Jesus' love came sweeping into the city with crowds shouting, "Hosanna," with palm leaves and clothes spread before him. It was so obvious on that day that the people whom Jesus had spent most of his ministry with were realizing not only how important he was to them and how he loved them, but they were truly expressing their desire for a ruler who really cared about them. Heaven was passing by. What Jesus knew, though, that they did not know, was that he was not coming into the city to take the reins of power, like the power that was used by the Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests, or the power that was used by King Herod or the governor Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and the Roman Empire and Caesar. Those institutions had already been corrupted by the pursuit of power, money, and influence. Their kingdoms were crumbling because of their pursuits of greed and oppression and the elimination of any who sought changes. Both the religious and secular powers of Jerusalem and beyond were correct to see Jesus and the people as a threat. Jesus definitely wanted to change things in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus wanted to build a kingdom, and he talked about it all the time. He called it the kingdom of God, or Matthew refers to it as the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom based on love, justice, peace, and life that is transformed by a loving God. He loved so much that he came to earth as a human being. While living in this human form, Jesus spent most of his time helping people, healing people, showing them love and compassion, and teaching them about God. But then he came face to face against the judgment of unjust people and systems. He died a cruel death. And then he began to rule in people's hearts, minds, and spirits. Because he faced everything that he endured with forgiveness, grace, and love. Reverend Adam Hamilton, in his book, The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, quotes a Middle Eastern Bible scholar who says that Palm Sunday was the very first nonviolent direct action ever. Well, that's an interesting interpretation of Jesus riding into Jerusalem with the masses. Jesus knew that his action would raise concern among the powers that were there. But Jesus did it with intention anyway. There were no swords in this processional, just palm branches. There were no shields, just people's clothes. There were no shouts of an overthrow, just shouts of blessing on Jesus and praise to God. But Jesus was clearly demonstrating and modeling the kingdom of God that he envisioned and how it could work without using intimidation or force or fear or military power. A kingdom of love and spiritual light was coming into Jerusalem that day, and its power would be ignited by its leader, washing the feet of his movement's future leaders, the disciples, and praying for forgiveness for those who tortured and killed him. Jesus certainly deserves our praise and adoration. The powers of Rome and Jerusalem trembled. They knew they could be overthrown by such power, because they could never claim the hearts of the people the way Jesus claimed their hearts. So they tried him on trumped up charges, arrested him with the help of money, and bought off one of the disciples, Judas. They made an example out of Jesus through torture and crucifixion, so that in their minds, Jesus' followers would stop following him out of the fear of retribution. They used every tool in the book to destroy the kingdom of God that Jesus wanted to build on this earth. But guess what? It didn't work. Jesus fought back with grace. Jesus fought back with love. He fought back with forgiveness. He fought back with humility and service to others. Jesus fought back with the very power of God, because he was God. Many people ask, what is God like? Our passages of Scripture today are Christianity's answer to that question. God is like Jesus was. God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. Death could not keep him in the tomb. That is an example of the power that God gives to life. Theologian Masayo first suggests that if we take the divine relationship between Jesus and God seriously, as it's described in Philippians 2, verse 6, that Jesus was in the form of God, then Christ self-emptying ability is also the self-emptying or pouring out nature of God. And why does the divine practice this self-emptying nature? A response to this question comes from a Western source, a Benedictine monk, who considers the role of humility in monastic theology. Dantino Ogliari, in his article in the American Benedictine Review, states, quote, "The extreme humiliation that Christ undergoes when he empties himself of divinity and takes on humanity, this reveals the true essence of God. Self-emptying on such a level demonstrates divine love, revealing in fact the core of God, that God is love. 1 John 4:8. This expression of the triune God, of emptying oneself for the blessing of others, is a free expression of the choice to love. This is the true definition of God. Many years ago, as an example of self-sacrifice, a very famous singer, Marian Anderson, one of the greatest voices to sing, her perspective was shared with the world through an interview. She could have used her voice to lift herself up. She was so famous. She could have been this diva who was greedy and selfish, but she wasn't. An interviewer named Marian asked her to name the greatest moment in her life. Think about that. What was the greatest moment in your life? She had so many to choose from. The night that Toscani told her she had the finest voice of the century. Then there was the private concert she gave at the White House for the Roosevelts and the King and Queen of England. And then she also received a 10,000 Bach Award as the person who had done the most for her hometown of Philadelphia. To top it off, there was an Easter Sunday in Washington, D.C., where she stood beneath the Lincoln statue and sang for a crowd of 75,000 people, which included Supreme Court justices, cabinet members, and most members of Congress. Which of those moments was her greatest? None of them. Miss Anderson told the reporter that the greatest moment of her life was the day when she went home and told her mother, "Mom, you won't have to take in washing anymore." What mattered most to Miss Anderson was lifting her mother's life up and making it easier for her. She had earned her money. She could have kept it all to herself, but she didn't. She wanted to share and give back to her mother who had given so much to her. What matters most to God is that we don't have to try to wash our own sins away. God wants us to be lifted up because Jesus poured out his life for us, for our salvation. This Holy Week, may we get our praise on to the one who came to take away our sin. May we always, every day, give praise to Jesus, however we choose to do that, who, even though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be held onto, but he emptied himself for the whole world. Glory and honor and thanksgiving be to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has come to forgive, to love, and to lift up. Amen.